Right? Okay, so this is what we're up to. Nishit Bonin. So one of the things that we discussed a little bit yesterday was the importance of the real search for Yirat Hashem. Sorry, one second. Let's try that again. Okay, so last time we met, we were discussing the two different ways that the Ramchal describes the need to search after Yirat Hashem, the need to search after the awe of God. And he uses this, the language, he quotes a pasuk from Mishle, that you search after it like money and also like buried treasure. And we noted that finding buried treasure versus accumulating money are two different forms. One has a clear path or a clearer path, right? You get your education in, you work hard, you hopefully lock down a job and do everything in your effort to keep that job. So that would be, right, one way of approaching Yirat Shamayim, is that you have a path. But then there's also, to some extent, right, that you're kind of digging around in the darkness. You may have a map, but you're not really sure where it is that you're looking, what it is you're looking for. And maybe you find the treasure, maybe you don't find the treasure. It takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of digging to try and get there. But today we're going to lay out two different, he's going to use two different sources to try to analyze what exactly is the methodology that we need to use to acquire all various aspects of what we need. So the first is basically what we're up to. We'll see in a second is a verse from Devarim, which we'll go through. And the second is what the Ramchal organizes his entire Sefer off of, which is the letter of Pinchas ben Yair, which we'll get to hopefully by the end of today. My goal is to finish the introduction today. If we don't, we'll pick up next week, but hopefully we finish the introduction today. So again, picking up where we left off, Umi sheyit bonein ba me'ira she'ein ha'chasidut talui otam hadvarim she'yichshavu ha'mitchazim ha'tipshim ela midivrei shleimus amiti v'chachma rabba. So as he pointed out earlier, some people have a mistaken notion as to what it means to really connect with God, and they think that it's with fasting and with these long saying psalms all day. And the Ramchal really is trying to move us away from that thinking about piety and to move piety into a different realm. And now he's going to describe what exactly that looks like. Hu masha Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom milamdenu be'amro in Devarim v'ata Yisrael. And now Israel, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us in Parshas Ekev. V'ata Yisrael ma'ashem elokecha shoel mi'imach. So it's a little bit of a funny, it's one of my favorite, super understated, but really it's asking a lot more of us, right? So he's like, what does God want from us? All God wants is ki'im li'yiras Hashem lekecha, to fear God or to have awe of God, l'leches b'chol derechav, imitatio dei, to imitate the attributes of God, li'avoto, to love God, li'avodas Hashem lekecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, to devote all of your heart and all of your resources to the service of God, to have this one unified approach to God, 4, and 5, lishmoras mitzvat Hashem v'eschukosav, to fulfill all the commandments. That's it. That's it. That's all God's asking for us, is those 5 things. When you get into those 5 things, I mean, it takes a lifetime to scratch the surface with some of this stuff. So, again, what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu means by, this is all God asks, it's not so much. It is a lot. But it's going to be used by the Ramchal to lay the groundwork for what he really hopes to accomplish. And then the structure of the book is not going to follow this structure, but the structure of the book is going to follow Pinchas ben Yair's ladder that we'll get to. But this is kind of the main crux, these 5 things, and he's going to go through each of them right now. Kan kalal kol chalkei shleimut ha'avodah hanitzrit l'shmo isbarach. These are the five things. Hayira, awe. Halicha b'drachav, to walk in the way of God. Ahava, love of God. Shleimus alev, a certain unity of vision and purpose. Ushmirat kol mitzvot, and the fulfillment of all of the commandments. Now he goes through each one. Hayira hi yirat romemuto yitbarach shiarei milfanav kimo shayra lifnei hamelech gadol v'nara. So the first is to the sense of grandeur and awe that we're supposed to have would be like having a king standing in front of us. Now, I think this is an area where we actually, it's hard, we get it, but we don't get it, because combination of a lot of factors, starting already with Richard Nixon and moving all the way till today, the presidential leadership, I don't think quite lives up to a certain gold standard of moral behavior, which has led to, I think that we respect the power of government, but I don't know that we respect the people that are in government as role models. I think that more and more we've come to disentangle those two things, which I think is unfortunate, but it leads to a little bit of a harder image for us, an application in our own lives that we can then use as leverage to appreciate what it means to have awe before God, right? To really have not fear, but awe of a king or a president, I think the majesty of the position has been tarnished for the last 50 years or so. And different people have contributed different ways in which they've tarnished the position, but it's much harder for us to find a great example of standing in the presence of king and queen with said awe. I think maybe the English may have a better chance of appreciating what this might look like, but even the monarchy in England is no longer what it once was. Not for the same reasons, just because the power of the monarchy has become less and less distinct even there. But still, whatever model that we can use for a person that when we stand in front of them, it's not fear, right? The Ramchal actually is very careful. He doesn't talk really about fear as much as it's a sense of reverence and awe. I think actually Avram Tversky in this version of the Mesilat Yesharim actually has a great point on the next few lines. He says, "Va'ivosh migadoto al kol tenua shehu bal hisnoya." So he says that some of the translations for this are the word vayivosh is a feeling of embarrassment. Here also he says feeling abashed, which also comes from a language of embarrassment. And vayivosh definitely has an element of embarrassment, but embarrassment's not really the right word because it has this really negative connotation to be embarrassed. Really, really what's happening here is that you have this sense of reverence and awe before whoever this king was or before God, that you almost are inspired to try to be the best version of yourself in front of this person or in front of God. And that's really what's happening here. Right? Because of their greatness, every action, every movement, you weigh every single thing that you're doing. And so what the Ramchal is saying is that the way that impacts our approach to God should, right, be evident in the way we approach tefillah and learning Torah. That when we approach tefillah and learning Torah, and I'll be honest, this is actually not something that's a strong suit of mine, and there's a reason for that also. I think that there's this balance that you need to strike between the immanent God, the God of relationships, and the transcendent God, right, the God of kingship, the God of, right, the awe. And there's a little bit of a balance you have to strike for yourself, and it's a little bit of a tricky balance because on the one hand, you don't want tefillah to become so distracting that you can't actually focus on what you're saying, and you feel almost afraid, not afraid, but the sense of reverence is so palpable that you can't really focus properly. But what the Ramchal is saying here is that when it comes to tefillah and it comes to learning, so these are times where we're standing before God, and do we remind ourselves that whenever we engage in these very spiritual, lofty activities, that we are in the presence of the greatest ruler that exists ever? It's a hard thing to swallow sometimes, and it's a hard thing to keep in mind, but that's one of the things that Ramchal is saying is something you need to develop, is the sense of reverence and awe before God. The second, imitatio de halicha bidrachav kolel kol inyan yosher hamidos bitikunam. So this includes all elements of fixing your midos, fixing your character traits. And it's going to be very interesting how he portrays what this can do for us, right? With the yira, he doesn't give us exactly what the yira will produce, except for the actual yira tashem. But halicha bidrachav, he actually is going to add an addendum to this section of what imitatio dei can create. Just as God is merciful, so should you be merciful. The klal kol zesh yinhog ha'adam kol midosav v'chol mine pulosav al pi ha'yosher v'amusar. And the general approach to how you walk in God's ways is that every single activity, every single thing that you do has two elements. One, yosher, so a straightness to it, no shtick. You're not trying to game the system or school the system. You're trying to do it proper, stay in the straight and narrow. And two, the musar, that you're able to take critique in the process. Right? So it's something that it's good for you, and it's also going to be, right, splendid and praised by the people around you. Not just Jews, but non-Jews is like, and anyone who gets to this point where that you're really, it's your true goal to try to emulate God, when someone really works on themselves and they become a mensch, right? A bona fide mensch. So the two things that come out of that, which none of the other categories are going to get, are one, Chizuk HaTorah, right? The Torah itself is made stronger when the people who represent it behave with the utmost proper yashrut. When people who claim to be keepers of the Torah act with shtick, act with different ways they try to game the system and school the system, that does not speak well for the Torah. But when someone approaches their life through Torah and also a sense of yashrus, the Torah itself is made stronger by said approach. The second thing is achva medinos, which is that there's a societal brotherliness. There's a sense of a warm feeling that flows from the Jewish community to the communities around it. When the Jewish community can be really a light onto the nations in terms of their actual midot, that's when the relationship between us and the surrounding nations is at its best. When we misbehave, again, it's a terrible thing for the Torah. The Torah is now viewed as, what is it even worth? If it can't even produce people who approach the world with as a mensch. And second of all, it can create animosity. And I don't want to blame anti-Semitism on Jews not doing this, but the point is that if I read this, the Ramchal would basically be saying one way of trying to maybe help anti-Semitism a little bit, maybe, is right the reverse. Right? I'm not gonna say that anti-Semitism is not a ridiculous and unfounded and terrible reality. But based off what the Ramchal is saying, he's saying that if we would all be, right, the model citizen, then perhaps that could help with the societal brotherliness across different divides. So that's number two. Number three is ha'ava. Shia nikba b'lev ha'adam ava elav yitbarach ad shemit orir na'ashol la'asos nachas ruach lefanav kimo sheliba mitorer la'asos nachas ruach la'aviv le'imo. This is really, I think, a beautiful formulation of what Avat Hashem is. It's interesting. The Rambam, Maimonides, when he describes what Avat Hashem is, so he views Avat Hashem almost as the romantic love of a man and a woman. And that our goal should be that we're so consumed, we're so obsessed with loving and understanding God and His Torah, that it's like a lovesick man or woman in a relationship, that they think so much about their partner, at least at the beginning of their courtship. So I think that's beautiful also in its own right, but the Ramchal here gives a different mashal to try and think about it, and that is the relationship between parents and children. That one of the things that's very often inherent in that relationship, assuming it's a healthy relationship, is that children want to make their parents proud. And Yiddish Nachas, right? They wanna provide a certain acceptance by their parents, but they want their parents to be proud of them on a regular basis. And so the Ramchal says, what's Avas Hashem? Avas Hashem, the love of God, is manifest in our desire to make God proud. That when we act in our lives, hopefully again with our tikkun amidos, with our fixing of our attributes and a certain reverence for God, we also have, right, the way he defines love towards our creator is that we want to make God proud of us. And it's really, I think it's a really beautiful, just taking to the next level, the mashal that we see all over our tefillah, all over our davening of Avinu Shebashamayim, right? Our God in heaven, our Father in heaven, rather, right? That God as a parent figure, and one of the formats and formulations that we have in our own, right, how we show our love towards our parents is making them, right, doing things in our lives that make them proud. V'itzta'er im chaser ze mitzido o me'acherim v'kanei al ze. Right. So on the one hand, it pains you when you fall short, when you don't live up to, right, what you perceive to be the level that God is asking of us. Second of all, right, we also are vigilant, right? The kaneals, that we're vigilant to try to make this a priority. And we're very, very excited and happy when we think that we've met God's expectation of us and lived a moment, an hour, a day, really to the level of which God asks of us. Number four, Shleimus Halev, Hu Shitiyah Avodah Lefanav Yitbarach Betor Hakavana. So this is really about intentionality in everything that we do. The Hayu L'Tachlis Avodasa Bilvad V'lo L'Shum Paneh Acheret. So there are a lot of motivating factors in a person's life, right? Maybe there's a factor of creating a sense of security financially or otherwise. Maybe there's a certain desire for power or wealth or fill in the blank, legacy. Now, to say that you can't have any of those other feelings, even though it sounds like what the Ramchal is saying, seems to me to be a little bit robotic and not superhuman. It's not so simple that you can just get rid of all these things. What I would say, at least to start off, is that the primary and major guiding principle for every other one of our desires is to keep God's Torah, right? So let's say our desire is to have security. So if the goal of having security is so that we can better serve God, right? So all of a sudden that overarching reality, right, will give a certain texture to the other desires. If our desire to accumulate money is to serve God, now, first of all, that's going to affect how we approach, right, the making of money, right? If let's say there is an opportunity to make money that is no longer on the realm of Yashrus, right? That's no longer in the realm of the straight and narrow, then you can't say, oh, but my Machiavellian, right, goal is more important than the process of getting there. No, you can't just justify the ends, justify the ends and say that the means don't matter. No. The process through which you get there is very important when you take into account that everything has to be, right, sublimated, everything has to be, right, included in the process of the one single driving focus, and that is service of God. So that's what I mean by, right, if you have this overarching perspective, even if you have other goals in your life, those goals could be, right, when properly modulated by this Shlemus HaLev, included in the Shlemus HaLev, included in this wholeheartedness of the service before God, and won't become distractions. But you have to make sure that what's the primary and what's the secondary, right? When, right, just to give you an example of where this could, right, go perfectly awry, if let's say someone's ultimate goal is really power and prestige, and they view, right, achieving certain wholeness in their Judaic practice as a battering ram to, right, achieve said prowess and prestige, that's a problem, right? And so it might come out in different ways when the opportunity presents itself to achieve more power, but they have to run a couple people over in the process of getting there. So that might be an example where the Shlemus HaLev seems to be missing, seems to be lacking. And to be able to really keep everything under this unified approach is not simple, but is a very high level that the Ramchal is stressing we work towards. B'nechlal b'zeh sh'yesh shalem ba'avoda v'lo k'poseach al sh'tei se'ifim, quoting the language from Eliyahu HaNavi, we shouldn't be sitting on the fence and not really bought in. We need to buy into this. K'os ha'mitzvah anashim milumuda, right? Like people who just do things by rote but are not actually, excuse me, orienting their kavana, orienting their intentionality towards the service of God. Elishia kolibo natunazet, his entire heart needs to be dedicated to this approach. And lastly, which ironically he gives one line to, but you can imagine in practice and in reality, the ability to do this takes, again, a lifetime. Shmiras kol mitzvos, right? This reminds me of the line from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hey, what are we asking? Just to do these four things and keep the entire Torah. So, Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos, keeping the whole Torah, kimashma'o, as it sounds, dahainu, in other words, Shmiras Kol HaMitzvah, kulan, b'chol dikukehen v'taneihem, right, with all of their conditions and all of their details, keeping the entirety of the Torah, that's just a tack-on to the other four, which I find is a laughable tack-on, because you can spend the entire, right, you can spend your entire life just trying to perfect your mitzvot, right, just trying to do number five. But obviously the Ramchal here is not focused on that. That would be a Sefer HaMitzvot that would focus on this last one. He's going to be focused on the first four much more, and therefore he doesn't really spend much time on it. Fine. V'nei kol eila klalim tzrichim perush gadol. All these things are going to require a lot more elucidation. U'matzasi lecha chaminu zal shik kalalu ha'chalakim ha'ila v'seder v'chilok acher yoter pratim misudar lefi hadraga hitzareches bahem leknos osam al nachon. And this where I think this is a little bit of a fudge, personally. I think that you have to really follow this idea fully through the entire book to kind of see this out. But he's saying that these five things all require a lot more time and effort to really elucidate what we need to do. But he thinks there's another list that's more detailed that will help us actually achieve these things. And that is what we're about to get to. V'hu ma'asha amru b'braisa huva b'mekomo shonim b'shas. This is a rabbinic source that comes up many places in the Gemara. V'echa mehem b'perek lifnei edehem in Avodah Zarah, page 20. Zelishanoitz, this is the braisa of Pinchas ben Yair. Mikan amar Pinchas ben Yair. From here, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said the following: Torah mivile de zehirus. Learning Torah will bring one to being more watchful. Zehirus mivile de zehirus. Being more watchful will lead to approaching your service of God with more zeal. Zehirus mivile de nikios. Approaching with more zeal will lead to a more cleansed approach to the Torah. Now, what that means, again, we have a lot to do. Nikios mivile de precious. A sense of cleanliness will bring you to a separation. And that doesn't mean like a 6 feet separation for COVID-19, a different type of separation, which we'll have to get to. Precious may vili de tara, right? Like Nikios and Precia, if you wanted to, right? It's an interesting kind of taking out of context for our situation that we're in now, right? The need for cleanliness and then leading towards isolation. But neither of those are what the Ramchal actually means. Nikios may vili Precia, Precious may vili de tara, right? The separation is going to lead to a heightened level of purity. Tara mivia de chasidut, right? Purity is going to lead to a heightened sense of piety. Chasidut mivia de anava, piety will lead to humility. Anava mivia de yirat chait, humility will lead to an actual awe of God. Yirat chait mivia de kedusha, awe of God will lead us to holiness. Kedusha mivia de ruach hakodesh, holiness will lead us to a certain understanding of God's will, or tapping into God's will, and Ruach HaKodesh mevila de tchias hamesim, being able to tap into God's will eventually lead us to the revival of the dead. Now, that is quite a statement, and it's going to take the entire book to go through what this means. And this is really the table of contents, right? We're going to basically go through each one of these things. Right, we're going to talk about Zahirus. What is Zahirus? How do we acquire Zahirus? What are the shortcomings of Zahirus? And he's going to explain this in this final couple paragraphs. Binei al pi abraisa zot hismachti lechaver chiburai. So I have relied heavily on this braisa to write my book. Lamed laatzmi, right, to teach to myself, because if Ramchal himself is not engaging in this, right? So who is he to tell us how to engage? He's saying, I'm working on this the same way that you guys are working on this. And to reach this in a gradual process. I will explain the idea behind each one of these things, the chalkav in each part of them, opratav, or their details, the way that you can acquire them, what things you should do in your own life to try to be more sensitive towards some of these traits. What are the things that distract you from being able to achieve them? And how you avoid said distractions. And this is his stated goal throughout this entire introduction, because life gets in the way and we need to do something to try to remind us of what it is our obligations are here. Asher chumrios hateva mishtadel hasir, that the realities of our physicality and nature are constantly trying to prevent us from achieving. Milibenu hakriya v'istaklus ya'ale al zichronenu v'yoreinu al mitzvah aleinu, and hopefully, right, the reading of this book, v'histaklut, and the looking, right, the histaklut is an interesting language. I've always understood this to kind of be one of the ways that I think is really important to try to create a certain reality in your own behavior is experience. Now, you don't want to have to fail a whole bunch of times in real time, in real life, in order to achieve a higher level of acclimation with these various midot. The best way, in my opinion, to try to move yourself forward is a sense of imagination and being able to put yourself in a particular situation in your head and trying to play out what are the various ways that you can respond to that given situation, right? So when we read through this book, one of the goals that I am setting out here is that we can try to think through what are some possible ways that we can imagine, right, the challenges of the said midah, the said trait, and how do we, right, put in our heads the various ways that we can approach a given reality, right? Someone cuts us off in the street, right? So what are our responses? What are our possible ways that we can respond, right? We can curse under our breath. We can drive up and tailgate. We can try and cut them off, or we can take a deep breath and maybe acknowledge that they're having a bad day or in a rush, and that it's not for us to get them back. It's not a simple matter, but what's the appropriate response, right? Some people might say, oh, he did something dangerous. I need to teach him that he did something dangerous. So often that goes along with like doing something dangerous yourself to prove that point. Look, if you know the person is, then you can write them a letter, an email, right? Leave them a message saying, I'm sure you were having a rough day, but I noticed that you did X, Y, and Z. And maybe in the moment you thought it was okay, but maybe it's something that you should give more thought to. If you don't know who it is, then whatever you're going to do, I'm not sure it's going to have much of an impact. And certainly cutting them off or tailgating is not going to really do anything but make them angry. So again, thinking through a situation sometimes can give you, right, insight into what might be the proper approach, so that when it does occur, you don't respond instinctively with inappropriate behavior, but rather based off of the built up muscle memory of your imagination that you've created, you can try to approach a situation with an even head and approach it properly. Again, not easy, but hopefully we'll be able to do that. And my reading of the word hestaklut, of looking, is whether it's in your own imagination or over the mistakes of somebody else, but the idea of reading and looking around should be the ways that we can stop ourselves from falling into the pitfalls. And he ends off with a prayer, and we'll end off with this prayer as well. V'Hashem yeh b'cheslenu v'yishmor raglenu milached. God should prevent us from failing, from stumbling. Right, and we should fulfill the request of the singer, right, to our beloved God. Horeini Hashem drachecha. God, please show us your path. Aleich amitecha yachad levavi liyira shemecha. Let me walk in your path in truth, together, and fear you. Right, ultimately get to that awe that we were talking about. Amen, Ken, you're its own. So may it be your will. So may it be our will. So this is where we'll stop, and we can hang out a little bit. I think I saw one chat. Let me just see what that is. What is the Hebrew word for fear? So yira is the Hebrew word for fear and awe. There's also a word, ratat, I think is more of a trembling, which I think would be a better Hebrew word for the English translation of fear. Fear, that meaning when I say yira is awe, I think that there are other words that are better used for the fear that we mean, which is like a more negative fear. What the Ramchal never says with fear, and this you'll find in Chazal, is that there's this fear that you have called, right, fear of sin, right? The yira tachay, sorry, fear of onesh, fear of punishment, which is a lower level fear that you'll find in the Rambam and in other places. The Ramchal really focuses on the yira of awe and really not so much on the yira of fear. And so there are other Hebrew words that are more of a connotation of fear. And the Ramchal, I think, seems to place a much larger emphasis on yira as translated as awe, which is the higher level of fear. But thank you for the question. Let me stop the recording, and I can unmute anybody.